much about so easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Okay. I think this is on. Is this on? Can someone tell me if it's on? Because I don't know how this works. I believe it's on. Can you hear me?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to f*** me?
Bingo.
And now.
Oh, computer. Are there any firewall restrictions, or am I, free to use my best judgment? Craigslist casual encounters is blocked? What is this, North Korea?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 15th of June.
What's up, you guys?
What's happening?
No.
I just saw Kevin at your house, the hottest place in the world.
Yeah.
On Monday, it is going to be 109 degrees.
Yeah.
109.
Yeah. That actually means about 113 or 114.
Oh,
really?
God.
It's always more than they say.
Take whatever the valley temperature is and add 4. That's
yes.
your house.
And then if you go further out to the Woodland Hills area, you can add like 100. I mean, it's just straight the
like
face of the sun.
213?
Yes. It's ridiculous.
I went to high school there. I don't remember it
it's
being
changed.
That.
Global okay. warming.
Oh, makes sense. Makes sense.
It actually wasn't that
doubled
hot.
The temperature.
It really wasn't.
There.
It wasn't this hot a decade ago.
No.
It's absurd, and it's not right, and I hate it. And why can't it be winter? And what happened in El Nino, you liars? God, I hate weather, man.
Right? Kevin, now that Los Angeles has become Phoenix,
yeah.
what is Phoenix? Do you still go out there to see family?
I do, yeah.
What's it like there in the summer? Is it 120 all the time?
Yeah,
now?
It's just worse. It's just it's already been, you know, over 110 now for, I don't know, months.
Wow.
Are you kidding? In early June, it's already hitting 110?
Yeah, June is summer there. Yeah.
Are you one of those, but it's a dry heat people? Oh, screw you.
I am, because when it's 115 and it's a dry heat, honestly, it's better than if it's 95 with 95% humidity, because you walk outside and you have to take a shower immediately.
Well,
it's
yeah,
just that
no,
damp
but
air.
But nobody in the West is dealing with that kind of humidity, though. It's not
right.
Like,
that's
no,
what I'm saying. She asked me if I was one of those, but it's a dry heat. Yeah, it makes a difference. It still sucks. It's still 115.
Yeah, it's still an oven.
It still blows.
I hate heat so much.
When I saw 109, I thought, it seems early for 109.
Yeah.
I thought, but... Hey, here's a great story to get us started, and I need some help. I need you guys to help me read between the lines here on this one. Are we getting the real story here, or is somebody just playing?
I'm going to say playing. I'm going to go with just playing.
Brockville, Ontario. Oh. Police are looking for a – that's in Canada, don't you know? They're looking for a 56-year-old man. He is out. They're very, very sketchy details. This is from the police blotter in Brockville, Ontario. Police said firefighters showed up after somebody called. The father was throwing objects into a fire at a campsite that belonged to a couple because the woman insisted that the earth was flat and her boyfriend's father argued that the earth was round and they could not come to an agreement on that issue.
So what did they do?
So the father threw his son and his son's girlfriend's stuff into the fire. Burned all their stuff up.
And then they said, you know what?
You know
what? We were wrong.
Yeah.
You're right. It is round.
Brockville police attended to the St. Lawrence Park for a family dispute. A local 56-year-old man was at a campsite with his son and the son's girlfriend. The older male became angry during a discussion about the shape of the earth. Women, right? The female insisted the earth was flat. The man argued the world was round. Now, by the way, I want to stop right there and ask, what do you have to argue with that the earth is flat? If that's your argument, like, what can you say beyond, hey, I think the earth is flat?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah,
think
you're
just
done.
Nuh-uh. Maybe that.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Because I just...
There's no facts to back up.
There's no facts, right. And I would think that, and look, I know for a long time there were a lot of people who believed the Earth was flat because they couldn't see the curvature of the Earth, because they looked out at a straight horizon and they said, well, clearly if the Earth was round, we would see the curve. Okay. But once we started taking pictures of the planet from space, didn't that end it for virtually everyone?
Virtually, yes.
Sure.
I would think.
Except unless Sherry Shepherd from The View. Remember when she...
She still
that.
Flat Earth?
Well, she said, like, whenever she was hosting, like, 8 years ago, she said that on the air, and people were like, wait, what?
I feel like we should take calls from people
I don't need to know that
think
about
the Earth is flat.
No.
How
no.
about people whose parrots think the Earth is flat?
Fine, but...
Maybe the... You know
I would
what,
think there'd be a lot more parents.
You would think.
Now but, I said parrots, by the way.
Oh, parrots.
Oh,
yes,
oh,
yes, I said parrots. Yeah.
That I'm in.
Now that I say that about it should have ended the argument we saw the pictures from space, I guess the argument could be made that those pictures are two-dimensional and you can't tell that it's round. Maybe it's flat like a pancake in their mind. They see it and it's a disc.
I don't think any of this conversation happened around a campfire.
You don't?
No.
They weren't singing Kumbaya?
No, I don't think they were getting into disc and spherical and all of that. No, I think they were probably loaded.
There's a lot of booze involved.
And maybe a little trolling, don't you think?
Sure. That's what I'm wondering. When I started and said, you guys help me read between the lines, is this girl just having a laugh at her boyfriend's father's expense to see how mad she can get him?
I think so. I used to do that to my grandpa because he was super into space exploration.
Right.
And I'd always be like, oh, yeah, what soundstage do they do that on, Papa?
Like
and he'd be like, that's not funny.
Like we
and he would get visibly
so
angered. And my dad would be like, you're trying to kill your grandpa. What are you doing? But it made me laugh.
But this is her boyfriend or husband's
Her boyfriend's dad.
So do you want to, your father-in-law?
No, I wouldn't think
I
so.
I don't think
so.
You want to push buttons like that.
The man began throwing their items into a campfire, including a propane cylinder, by the way. So this could have had a very different ending. Brockville police and Brockville fire attended the scene, and the campfire was extinguished. The older men had left the area. Police are now looking for the man to charge him with mischief.
Mischief is not much of a charge.
Neither party would change their views. So that's a thing that happened in Florida. By the way, in the comments...
Wait, Florida or Canada?
I'm sorry. Ontario. Ontario, Canada, yeah.
Okay.
I have Florida on the brain.
Oh, yeah.
In the comment section, by the way, and I usually have a policy to never read the comment section, I do love Vince, who wrote, soon globalists will burn flat earthers like witches, making globalists the ultimate hypocrites. The globe model is the lie enslaving humanity. So apparently the conversation continues in the comment section.
So
I feel like Canada is Florida Junior.
It started to look like that.
Yesterday's story was from Canada.
Yep. That's right. Well, let's make a note in case we're ever really, really out of ideas. Maybe we can try to find some flat earthers. I don't want to wait till we're out of ideas.
I want to talk to those people.
I don't think we'll be able to find any.
Are you really?
I don't. I don't think we can find a single flat earther.
Oh,
really?
I got news for you. We had someone call and say that nothing's coming out of the gas pumps. It's just air. Come on.
It did. I mean, that happened. And that didn't surprise
us. And she believed it, and we almost did. She had a very compelling argument.
she had a lot of good facts.
All right,
let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't believe you're seriously considering listening to these men.
Well, that's why we're bringing in Ricky Lindholm, who's from
adorable.
Another period.
She's great.
She's going to be in studio. Her show comes back tonight. Very excited about that. Beer mug man of 1,000 accents. Can't wait.
I can't wait.
I don't know why everybody is giddy at that idea except for Bean.
It's weird because it's fun.
Except for Parrot Guy. Except for the guy that wants to talk to parrots. He's judging us doing that bit. The guy with the parrot.
I like the idea that Dave has that says we Facebook Live mugs
That's
so
fun.
That the listeners in real time can throw out their own requests for the man of 1,000 accents. Mm. That might be fun.
That's okay. Fine, but that could go south quickly.
Of course, like everything on this show.
Right. Also on the program today, something caused you to move. You literally had to move because of... We've had neighbor fights before.
Mm-hmm.
and you don't get along with whoever across the street, but the people that actually pick up all their stuff and move, which is the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Moving sucks.
It's got to be pretty bad.
It's got to be pretty bad. So we're going to take those calls. Bean does have What's Up with Florida. That's why he's got Florida on the brain. And Ashley Escada from CNET is going to talk to us about E3 and all the new electronic stuff, new video games and stuff like that coming. And she's going to be in the 6 o'clock hour. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Are you guys trying to clap along with that hand clap song?
Nowhere
you're not qualified.
Near.
You're in no way
Kevin
qualified to that.
They're professional hand clappers.
Hey, we're in the zone.
They're professionals. Don't think you can compete on their level.
Please.
They just high-fived each other, Bean.
You don't go to a, do you think we were too good? Because now they're going to hear that. Somebody will hear that and they'll go, hey, there were better clappers than you. And then Fitz and the Tatch will be all upset at us.
We want a clapping tour.
Yes.
No. I think
Chip
it's
and I are going to start a clapping band.
It's an embarrassment.
And we're
going to
tour.
Clappers.
We're going to do a mall tour.
Kevin, do you go to hockey games and jump out onto the ice because you think you can do it just as well as the Kings?
I don't. But in this case,
same
I'm
thing.
Supremely talented.
Well, you're wrong. It is Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie's in for Ralph for another day with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
There are only a few stories I want to really talk about this morning. Number one, Curb Your Enthusiasm, back for a 9th season
that
on HBO.
Is great news.
Huge. That announcement yesterday. I don't know anyone that went, I don't need it. Everyone needs it.
If you're not familiar with it, you should look it up. Curb Your Enthusiasm is a great show. It's by the co-creator of Seinfeld.
Yeah, Larry David is magic. J.B. Smoove is magic. Jeff Garlin, good Lord, he's perfection
it's
on
great
that
and
show.
Yeah.
So it's coming back. In his announcement yesterday, creator Larry David said, in the immortal words of Julius Caesar, I left, I did nothing, I returned. Typical Larry David. So no word on when it's going to be back. But apparently he asked J.B. Smoove last year if he'd be available for a potential 9th season.
Kidding. So he's been thinking
so,
about it.
So yeah, he's kind of been stewing on it.
All right.
How long has it been off the air?
Oh, geez.
Seems like 3
Seems
years.
Like 3 maybe?
4? I don't know.
Listen.
If I had a computer in front of me, I would look it right up.
I would look it up, except I have something better on my computer right
okay.
now. When I say the band Smash Mouth, what do you think of?
Walking on the Sun.
Oh, you're walking. A liar. Really? It's the first thing you think of?
Is that their song?
Yes, it is.
Yes, because it was a great song.
It certainly was. It was a huge hit.
Why? What happened?
But a lot of the younger fans think of the movie Shrek.
Okay.
And the song All Star, because
sure.
a lot of people thought, oh, that song was for the movie Shrek, and it's huge. Well, that has become Smash Mouth's burden. If you take a look
Wait, so they hate it now?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Having to explain that they were a band long before Shrek,
oh.
and that song was out before Shrek. And they had a number one hit with Walking on the Sun.
Somebody once told me the
Here we go. This is All-Star, right? Is that what we're talking about?
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Is that the one you're talking about from Shrek?
Yes, but it's actually... Oh, wow. We've got them clapping, and now they're doing moves. They're doing dance moves. I wish everyone could see this. It's not good.
All right, so wait. So the kids know and love All-Star because of Shrek.
Because
Doesn't
of Shrek.
Doesn't that mean they like Smash Mouth,
you, Well, you would think. So here's the thing. So people tweet things like, how does it... All right. Wow, I just turned into Bean. I was just the enemy of fun. So people
Your kids
tweet
get off my
things
lawn.
Like, how does it feel that your entire music career can be attributed to Shrek? To which Smash Mouth responds, news to us, we already had a number one hit with Walking on the Sun and All-Star, was already a top 10 before Shrek was released. Another tweet, where would Smash Mouth be today if they hadn't been included on the Shrek soundtrack? Already had a number one hit song, Walking, and All-Star was already a top 10 on its way, number one before Shrek was even released. Facts matter. Their timeline is
answering
all
that?
Answering these
Why?
People... That are questioning every... No wonder you guys were a one-hit wonder. Well, seven-hit wonder, two number ones. Oh, my gosh. Just no.
Okay.
Just let it go, Smash Mouth.
I have questions on both sides of this exchange, which is who's spending their time trolling Smash Mouth and
yes.
why?
Yes.
And then B, as Kevin said, why would you respond to any of those people?
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
I can't imagine responding to those people.
I mean, I've been scrolling this whole time of all of the Twitter exchanges, but it is on Gawker right now. They kind of took a bunch of the Twitter exchanges. It's just, it's not, it, no, no.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You're Smash Mouth. You've got huge hits under your belt. You're still playing. Who cares about a guy named Jesse or a chick named Alexi? That's also...
all right. I'm not okay. If you're going to clap, I'm not going to play.
I mean...
I don't know. Okay, all right.
And a guy named Andy said, "I'm a Believer is a effing Monkees cover, you idiot." Smash Mouth responds, "If memory serves me correct, there was an original song in that film that went to number one in every country. Something about stars. Hmm? What does that even mean? What are you... What? What's happening? Smash Mouth!
Stop
They're
it.
Very defensive.
Well, they don't need to be. They've got songs that everybody knows and loves.
Stop it.
Yes, that man said it best. But there's a lot of entertainment news that we'll get to later. But
man,
that's crazy. Really. All you need to know, Smash Mouth, very upset on Twitter.
Stop it.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm, coming back for a ninth season. Hey, happy birthday to all of you stars born on June the 15th. That's today, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is today.
Right.
Actor Jim Belushi is 62, or as Chip calls him, the good Belushi.
Right, the talented one.
Actress Helen Hunt is 53, Courtney Cox, 52, rapper actor Ice Cube is 47, actress Leah Remini is 46, Neil Patrick Harris is 43, Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon is 32, and our buddy comedian Taylor Williamson.
Taylor.
He's 30 today, the big 3-0. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Our friend Ashley Escada joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know her and love her from Tomorrow Daily on CNET. She is at the E3 Electronics Expo going on right now. I hope she's okay. You know, Lil Wayne was supposed to be there yesterday. They had to cancel because he's been sick.
Yeah, they're different people. So I think she's probably fine.
Why?
No.
Would she be so upset?
I hope she's okay.
I thought she might be sad.
Oh.
Jessica's sad because Lil Wayne was supposed to be down there with Samsung, and then he had to cancel. So
I see.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'm guessing that she's unaffected by that and wishes him well.
I bet she's heartbroken.
Well, we'll find out
soon enough.
Ashley is coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, I got a question for you. What is up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! Bunch of
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Obviously, we send lots of love to Orlando, Florida. They're going through a horrible time right now, but that doesn't mean the rest of the state gets off the hook because they continue to be Floridiots. And I want to start in Key West, Florida this time. Kevin, you'll appreciate this. According to police, an argument between two couples about a fart turned violent at Sloppy Joe's bar in Key West.
Why's it got to be Sloppy Joe's?
That does make it somehow worse, doesn't it?
And how does that go?
Well, let's see if we can put the pieces together here with limited information. Richard McBride, 53, told police, yes, the argument was due to someone farting. McBride was in the bar with his girlfriend, Sandra Stoner, 55. They were drinking at the bar when an unidentified man punched him in the face after they argued about a fart. Now, I don't know how this got started, but surveillance footage, according to the police, showed the lady, Sandra Stoner, getting out of her seat to approach another woman, getting in her face in what appeared to be an aggressive manner. It's not possible that the fart argument started between the girls, is it?
Well, ladies don't fart, no.
That would never happen, right? It's just rose petals down there, right? The unidentified man attempted to get between Stoner and the other woman when McBride pushed the woman. Then the man turned and punched him in the face. McBride suffered a dislocated shoulder during the scuffle.
Wow.
And was treated at Lower Keys Medical Center.
That's a serious injury.
That's a scuffle.
The unidentified couple left the bar after the altercation, but McBride signed a release form and expressed he was not interested in pressing charges. So I think this may just end up being a mystery for the ages, but what would you pay to have video of the entire exchange, how that got started? I mean, did someone fart on someone? accidentally, on purpose? Were they having an argument about who was better at it? I mean, I have way too many questions to let this
you
go.
You have too many questions for this one.
A lot of alligator stories in Florida lately. This is, I mean, I guess this is just the price of doing business if you're going to live in the Sunshine State. But neighbors in a neighborhood in the Whiskey Creek community started calling and saying, hey, there's a really bad smell in our neighborhood. So the people who handle things like that, the Department of Transportation, went out and confirmed that there was a very dead 11-foot-long alligator stuck in the neighborhood's drain. About twice a year we get calls for gators. Usually they're not that big. The pipes are not that big. If this alligator had been dead for about a week, they figure, and it just was stuck in the drain pipe, and they had to pull it out in pieces. Can you imagine that's your job, is to pull out a rotting alligator corpse out of a drain?
It's the worst job ever.
It doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Does it seem to you, Allie, you watch the news, does it seem to you like there are way more alligator stories coming out of Florida than ever before?
I feel like it, yeah.
They're angry and they're organized.
Well, I do wonder if they're coming after us or something. A couple of good shoplifting stories for you. A Walmart shopper was arrested Saturday night. Here's what she had stolen in her purse. Trojan Ultra Touch Personal Massager,
yeah.
KY Intense Arousal Gel, and a Lifestyles Vibrating Ring. She, by the way, when the police arrested her for shoplifting, my favorite part of the story is that she said she was just too lazy to pay for the items, and that's why they were in her purse.
Really? Like she had the money and...
Huh. Yes, she did. I feel like that maybe is not the truth. I feel like maybe she didn't want to be seen buying all those items for some reason. I love that she got arrested for shoplifting, and now she is also facing narcotics charges because she had marijuana and
Wow, really?
You would know. That's it, the painkiller, yeah, which she did not have a prescription for. Too lazy, though, is her defense. Here's another one, another shoplifting story. This lady stole earrings, $12.50 earrings. She stole them by putting them down the waistband of her pants. Her name is Prolancia Turner, 26 years old.
Maybe she wears them there.
Maybe she's got some piercings is what you're suggesting.
Just saying.
The woman was crying and angry when she was arrested, but was also miffed. And as she told police, look, everyone steals from this store. Why are you picking on me?
No.
Really?
I'm not sure that that really is
a defense. I don't think that's the argument.
Everybody's doing it.
I don't think that's the argument either. Oh. We talk all the time about how people see God everywhere in mysterious places because, you know, he's crafty that way. You never know when God is going to show
toast.
Up.
Toast.
Here's
the
lady.
Shadows.
You're going to wish for toast. You're going to pray for shadows. I tell you what Katie Vasquez posted on her Facebook page last week. Sometimes in our busy, crazy, hectic lives, we forget how wonderful God is. Today I feel as though he sent me a sign saying, everything will be okay. I'm right here by your side. This sign did come in the oddest form, in my baby's poop.
Okay.
I went to change his diaper, and he pooped across. It might not be the prettiest sign, but he put it where he knew I'd see it, in my baby's diaper.
She did not post a picture.
Of course she did, Allie.
Oh, my God.
Gotta see it.
It's
no,
hard to miss.
Kevin.
To see it.
No.
How do you poop across?
It's hard to miss what's right there in front of you. That's Kevin. That's why it's a sign from God.
If you wanted
how do you
to
poop
do
across?
That, how could you?
Right. That's why it's God.
I'm on her side.
If you can or want to feel free to share this message that God is with us and he gives us signs to let us know that things will be okay. It's not always the prettiest sign, but he knows where we will see it. We're good most of the time, but God is good all of the time. We are one in love. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I believe all things are possible with God. Yes, her baby pooped a cross and there is a photo of the holy poop. I can post this, Kevin, if you...
Please
well,
do.
Kevin needs to see it.
I'll find it, but go ahead and post it. It'll make it easier on me.
And finally, Naples, Florida. A Florida man says he called 911 Monday night because his girlfriend wouldn't buy him vodka. Caller Jack Means told dispatch his neighbors were fighting and yelling, but when deputies showed up, there was no yelling. There was no scene. According to the police report, Means was drunk and angry because his girlfriend would not buy him vodka, so he decided to call 911. Deputy spent more than an hour on the scene. He's been charged with a misdemeanor for misusing 911. That sounds pretty reasonable to me. I think they're coming down on this guy pretty hard. But that's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
to Ashley, shall we?
We shall.
Ashley Escada, of course, who we know and love from CNET, the host of Tomorrow Daily, is at E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo, happening right now at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Well, I assume you're not there yet, but probably on the way. How are you, Ashley?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you there? Because I feel like maybe you spent the night.
You know, it's just like those weird movies where you hang out in like a camping store and you stay there overnight.
Right.
Hide in a booth and sleep.
I like
it's
it.
Great.
So some years blow people's minds. Some years are just kind of business as usual. There's not that much to get excited about. What's this year like?
I'd say a mix. There's definitely some things we've seen before, like the dystopian sci-fi shooty man game. There's a lot of dystopian sci-fi happening right now in gaming. But there's a lot of new stuff, too, and from everybody. So this has been kind of an exciting year in terms of some surprises, some familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while. I know Xbox announced a couple of new consoles, not just one, which is pretty exciting for gamers, but also a little bit confusing. So
what's the one that's going to be available first?
The one that's going to be available first is the Xbox One Slim. It's 40% smaller than the current Xbox One, which is quite large.
Right.
And that will be available later this year for $299, which is a pretty good deal. If you haven't picked up an Xbox One yet, that would be a pretty great way to get in.
Does it play older games?
It'll play everything that Xbox One is already compatible with, which includes some Xbox 360 games. They have some backwards compatibility happening for quite a few games.
Is it worth it other than just saving the space? Because I've already got the space accounted for. It already fits where it is.
There's some upgrades there. Some upgrades, 4K. I mean, you're going to be able to, it's like it's kind of a weird, it feels like a little bit of an awkward transition into 4K and HDR because the consoles both came out before HDR was kind of a prevalent thing.
Right.
But now that we're starting to see that a lot at CES with television and content being created, now Xbox and Sony are expected to follow suit.
Okay.
So Xbox One S will support 4K and HDR. And then next year, holiday 2017, for the very discerning hardcore gamer, they're making what I would equate to kind of a small PC. They're doing something called Project Scorpio. It's a very powerful graphics processor inside. The highest end video cards that are happening this year are going to be inside. They're very similar in terms of what they can push graphically.
Right.
They're going to come out next year. So with this console, and it's going to be pretty powerful. I mean, all things considered for a console, usually when consoles launch, they're about 5 years behind because they start designing them so early before they launch. And this seems a little bit faster in the design cycle.
But let me
to be $299.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't. But let me jump in and ask about from a marketing standpoint, why announce one that you want people to be excited about and buy this Christmas when you're already telling them ahead of time, yeah, but we're coming out with something even better than that the following year? I feel like you're going to talk some people out of buying the new one this year.
I think that's right. And I think that's something that a lot of people have been sort of discussing this year at the show. They kind of, there's some people who are kind of confused. Like, as I was leaving the press conference, I could just hear a lot of people going, why would they announce two?
Right.
I do think that for a lot of people who just want a game and they just, they don't need to be on the cutting edge of virtual reality and, all of the different things that are happening in gaming right now, they would be okay with a $299 Xbox One S. And that's actually a great deal. So it's one of those things where I think they're maybe for two different audiences for sure.
Okay.
And then on top of that, I mean, with Scorpio coming out next year, it'll have been a few years since the original Xbox One was launched, not the full 10-year console cycle that we've seen before. It's much shorter than that, but
gotcha.
Definitely kind of on a PC upgrade. It was like every 5 years or so it's a little bit faster.
All right.
Okay. Now, you said magic words for me, virtual reality. I'm just trying to stay alive long enough for robot sex. What's new in the VR world for me? I understand the PlayStation has got something this year, right?
Sadly, I did not see any robot sex games.
Really? Come on, Ashley.
Were you looking hard?
Ashley, that's the only reason Bean is staying alive, he
says. I sent you out there as a scout for me, Ashley. What's wrong?
I am searching harder than Indiana Jones looking for the marketing office. Trust me. I'm looking. It's just tough. You can't find it. I mean, maybe there's some creepy basement that it just says for Bean, and you can go in there. And that's
I like that. You got to go deeper into the convention center, I think, to find my area.
Why don't you tell us some other things that are exciting other than Bean's dreams?
So virtual reality is actually PlayStation VR got an official launch date. It'll be in mid-October of this year. And they're going to do – it's $399 for the headset, but then you also have to have the Move controllers and the camera and everything. So that's another – you can get a bundle for $500. So it's around $500. Which is still the more inexpensive way to get into higher-end VR. Obviously, Oculus and Vive, the two PC headsets that are out right now, are pretty pricey. And then you also have to have a computer that can drive those headsets. So
is there ever going to come a time when we don't need the giant headset to have this cool effect?
It depends. I mean, obviously, we see technology do this all the time. It's really big at first and kind of awkward and clunky, and then it gets smaller and sleeker as we go. So maybe in about 5 years, we'll probably see some really cool, beautifully designed, slim headsets that don't really feel like you're wearing them.
All right.
But, yeah, PlayStation VR has some really interesting stuff. They're going to have 50 launch window titles, so a lot of games that are going to fill out their library right when they – kick off, and there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, we saw a full Resident Evil game that actually made people excited about Resident Evil again. I mean, Resident Evil 6 was pretty terrible, and people were really jazzed about Resident Evil 7 being in virtual reality. I'm not sure that I need therapy after playing that in virtual reality, so I might skip that one, but... There was another surreal horror game that I played and screamed quite loudly at the showcase while playing, which was called Here They Lie. It's a company based here in LA making it, which is really cool.
I assume that scream was good.
The crazy thing was I saw what was coming. I knew what was coming.
Right.
And I walked through the door because I had to progress, and it jumped out at me, and I still screamed. That's how good it is. It was really good.
We are just about out of time. Ashley Skeeta on the phone with us right now from CNET. Now, you were there yesterday, there today, there again tomorrow. Are you doing anything live from the floor, or what should people look for you today on CNET?
We're on the GameSpot live co-op. We're on the co-op stage for GameSpot, and we're one of their partners. And so we'll be live at 2 o'clock today with Tomorrow Daily, and we're going to have Tim Schafer, who is a pretty big name in gaming. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have some Destiny devs to talk about their next expansion, and we're also going to have a really cool gamer guy, Victor Lucas, on the show today. So 2 o'clock, and if you go to GameSpot.com, you can check out the live stuff from their stage all day today and all day tomorrow.
Fantastic. Well, definitely look in the basement for me before you get out of there this week.
Don't,
all right,
don't
Ashley?
Do it, Ashley.
I'll do my best.
Don't.
All right. Great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
Bye, guys.
You're so worse.
Seriously.
You're
guys,
so
you
bad.
Can't. You're terrible at it. No one wants to hear you guys clap.
They are not good.
Kevin and Chip started a new band this morning called Hands of Fury.
A lot of people want to be a part of Hands of Fury, Bean,
where they just clap along with all the songs, and they think they make them better.
You're not invited, Bean.
It's not for you.
Well, I don't want to be there. I want to be as far away from Hands of Fury as possible.
It's not for you.
6:56, Wednesday morning, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alex.
Bean, you paying close attention to the big trial happening? Led Zeppelin?
A little bit. I know we're having somebody on Friday to kind of recap the week for us, but yeah, the jury is seated. They had opening arguments yesterday. It's very exciting.
Well, it may not go much further.
Oh, I don't know if you've heard this. Aren't they?
They are talking mistrial, and you may say to yourself, "What? What house?
What? What?
See? You just said it. Amazing." Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you don't know what the trial is about. It's basically the estate of a band called Spirit. Guitarist Randy California saying that Led Zeppelin stole the riff for Stairway to Heaven from the band, and now that he has passed away, the band is like, hey, let's get in on this.
Hey, how about some of that money?
I want some of that. But here's what happened. They showed an unidentified man playing the opening of Stairway to Heaven and then the song Taurus by Spirit, followed by both parts synced together. And okay. Led Zeppelin's attorney objected since the video was not included before the trial in the joint list of exhibits. So they didn't say they'd be playing this. It wasn't on the list. So now they're like, wait, what? Nope, not on the list.
So that's a technicality that they have to do.
Yes, and it can be declared a mistrial. And apparently the judge is making that decision today.
Wow.
If that happened, what kind of an attorney does that?
Yeah, because he has to know that.
Yes.
Law.
I know that.
That's
your
like Law and Order 101.
I know that on TV.
That's what I'm saying.
How does he not know it?
That, I'm very confused by this whole thing. But Jimmy Page and Robert Plant were in the courtroom. That's enough for me. Like, how cool would that be to sit in there and see Robert Plant, like, 20 feet from you?
I'm sure that that is a little bit of a concern when you are picking a jury in a celebrity case, that you don't just get somebody there who's just oohing and aahing over being around a famous person. You need somebody who is going to consider the merits of the case.
And that person is
not me.
That person
not
is me, though.
Not
that person is me.
Could you have played it cool enough during that jury selection? Like, not have come off as a total music nerd?
I don't know if I could. I would have tried.
I could answer that for him. No, he could
no,
not.
There's no way he'd be selected.
Right.
And me, I'd be like, oh, my God, remember when you rode the horse and your hair was all flowing and the juice running down your leg? Oh, yeah.
Boy, was The Song Remains the Same movie bad. You'd want to throw that
no,
in there, too.
No, it wasn't.
It was awful.
Oh,
Ellie.
No.
It was awful.
So good.
Well, keep us posted on that.
I will. Absolutely. This might be the coolest thing ever. And I know that we sent a listener to the Secret Solstice Festival in Iceland.
Right.
And if they're part of this, I need to hear all about it. Deftone singer Chino Moreno will become the first artist ever to play inside, wait for it, a volcano.
Yeah!
Chino and 20 lucky ticket holders will be airlifted down 400 feet deep into the volcano, and he's going to do a solo acoustic set.
What could go wrong?
Well, if you're wondering about when's the last time it erupted.
When's the last time it erupted, Allie?
Thanks for asking, Bean. More than 4,000 years ago, so
okay.
What are the chances?
Probably
I mean,
like
it's, due. It's due.
It is
due, what
due,
I'm saying.
You're probably pretty safe.
I just think that's amazing.
Until you die.
Like, how cool of a story is that? Like, oh, really? You went to the Hollywood Bowl?
Best
I
show
saw
you've
a show
ever seen.
In a volcano. Screw your Hollywood Bowl, which is still one of my favorite places. But, oh, my God. Deftones in a volcano?
It's got everything.
It's got everything. All of these stars were born today, June 15th. As Chip calls them, the good Belushi. Jim Belushi is 62 today. Actress Helen Hunt is 53. Courtney Cox, 52. Did you
really?
Take away Courtney Cox?
Helen or Courtney?
Helen.
She's a pretty lady.
Mm.
Really?
Okay.
All right.
I see your point. Courtney,
fine.
Deserve it?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Rapper actor Ice Cube is 47. Actress Leah Remini is 46.
All right, what about Leah?
Absolutely.
I think
what
she's
is
very
wrong
pretty.
With you people?
I think so too.
Actor
okay.
Neil. Delayed bell. Actor Neil Patrick Harris, 43. Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon, 32. And our own comedian. He's ours. We claimed him. Taylor Williamson is 30 years old today.
Happy birthday, Taylor.
Happy birthday, Taylor. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Beer Mug, the man of 1,000 accents, is going to be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes or so. It's round 3 of Mugs, but we have not yet begun to plumb the depths of his talent, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And we're going to be Facebook Living that so you can watch it and also make your suggestions on which accents you want to see Beer Mug do. It all started with Johnny Chicago, and look where we are from there.
Who knew that was going to be a thing?
Right here on the world famous K-Rock.
All right. Let's talk about things that made you move. This is odd to me because most times you have fights with neighbors and you either ignore or, you know, get through it somehow or you're in a continuous state of fighting with them.
Right.
How many people?
As is the case in Kevin's neighborhood.
Not the case, sir. I have settled everything. Everybody respects me, and they stay away.
I don't think you settled it. I just haven't talked to them in 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
That too.
So that's okay.
That too.
Okay.
Kevin solved the problems with his neighbors.
Right.
by putting an imaginary wall between his house and theirs, and they each pretend the other doesn't exist. And when Kevin walks to his car every morning, he looks to the left and looks to the right and goes, la, 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 la.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All right.
I've I've gotten mail next to my neighbor one time before where we were just 2 feet away.
Not a hello.
Right? Nothing.
Nothing.
Just got the mail.
That is so weird.
Walked back in.
That is so weird.
But didn't have to move. That's the
didn't have to move.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
What would it take, you guys? And I know we got a couple of stories, and we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever had to move or made somebody move because of problems between neighbors, that's the topic on the table. What would it take? What kinds of problems can you guys envision would make you actually pack up your family and your things and move to another house?
That's a great question. One of the stories that we have is, it sounds to me like a crazy person. Because the neighbors upstairs were having sex, and he was listening to it all the time, and it drove him crazy.
Go on.
His name is Reuben Cook.
I haven't heard the problem yet. Go on.
36 years old. He wanted to get away from it, so he lit a fire in his apartment so that, in his words, he could spend the night in jail.
So he could get away from that couple.
So he wouldn't have to listen to the couple having sex.
He set his own apartment on fire.
Something in his apartment on fire, hoping that that would be enough. It spread.
Oh, no.
And so maybe that's not the best plan.
Yeah, he didn't think that one out.
So he's probably still in jail, but technically he moved.
He did.
Right?
He's
got a new home.
Maybe a new roommate.
Sure. Still the same sex noises. Bad news for him.
Here's a story that Allie found last week that I wonder if this is the type of thing that both – you could argue either neighbor is in the right here.
No, you can't. You would, but go ahead and read the story.
It doesn't seem to me like this is one that could be resolved. Look, if it's a barking dog, for instance, which I think is the number one neighbor complaint that people have. If it's a barking dog, you've got a dog in the neighborhood that's just driving you crazy. Eventually, it gets to the point where enough people complain, the police are called often enough, that somebody steps in and does something about it, right? So that does get resolved somehow. I don't know that that's going to be the case with this story, because this is in Henderson, Nevada, about 30 miles south of Las Vegas. Short version of the story is there is a family that moved in about 3 years ago and noticed, hey, we got a lot of bees in this neighborhood. What's up with that? Well, it turns out that one of the neighbors, their neighbor next door, Dave Sharpless, is a beekeeper. He has bees as pets in his backyard. He has a lot of bees.
They're not pets.
He considers them pets.
Do they have names?
And by the way,
Do they have collars?
I am 100% team Dave here, as Allie knew I would be, because bees save the world.
Absolutely. But this man is so over the top. Read more, Bean.
What do you mean he's over the top? He's just keeping bees, and the neighbor is complaining.
No,
hey,
he's
we
not
don't like-
a beekeeper to actually harvest and do all
he's
that.
He's not making honey.
No.
He's keeping them as pets.
He's keeping them as pets, and he's saying, these won't sting you. They're friendly bees. He's Looney Tunes.
Wait. And by the way, the Nevada Department of Agriculture took the neighbor's complaint seriously and sent out bee experts who found 5 hives on the property and determined that the colonies were not overly aggressive or agitated. In other words, they are friendly bees. This isn't wasps that are swarming next
bees,
door.
But thousands of bees, and bees, nobody can enjoy their backyards in that neighborhood.
Bees do sting.
Some bees do sting. Most bees do not. The lady next door, the woman who's complaining about this, says we can't use our backyard. The kids can't play in the pool. It's a nightmare. Anytime we're in the backyard, we bring fly swatters. We have to start a fire pit. The guy says, look, my bees are fine. First of all, you don't know that those are my bees in your yard, is one defense that he gave. Because there are lots of bees. They might not even be my bees, the bees
right,
that are next door.
Right, but what are the chances if he has that many hives?
Right.
The chances are that it's his bee. And can he vouch that every bee won't sting? No, he can't.
Does this sound to you like the type of story that the only resolution might be that this lady picks up and moves her family away? Because there's nothing that legally can be done about this man and his bees next door. This might be the type of thing that she just has to say, okay, I got to go.
If you're living in Nevada, you want to go and enjoy a pool.
Yeah,
in your backyard because it's 1,000 degrees there. If you cannot leave your home because your neighbor has thousands of pet bees, I'm leaving.
By the way, I have thousands of pet bees, too. We plant lavender on our property to attract bees because bees are so awesome.
Right, because bees are awesome.
And it's weird how many of my neighbors move, too. I don't get it.
Asshole.
All right, let's take a couple of calls. Let's at least do one before the break. Why don't we start with Jennifer. She's in Lomita. She's on line 4 to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Have you ever had to move because of your neighbors? That's the topic on the table. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Kevin and Bees. I love you so much.
Thank you. You're so nice. What forced you to move?
Oh, my God. I had the neighbor from hell. I had the dopest apartment, huge studio apartment, like high ceilings made it even bigger. This guy was a drug dealer.
Oh.
One night. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't die, lucky. So this one night, I wake up in the middle of the night to a neighbor, some guy pounding on my neighbor's door, like pounding on the, like crazy. I open the door and I give this guy a "What are you doing? Shut your yap!" look, and he's screaming at him too. And he goes, "Oh, he has my food. He won't give me my food." Just tons of garbage like that.
And what a nightmare! Because you loved your place.
I loved my apartment. Mm.
It had high ceilings.
It had high ceilings. I heard.
So
that
the problem was the problem was just that people were coming around at all hours of the day and night, unsavory sorts outside your door buying drugs.
Yes, cocking guns, beating each other up, you know.
Oh,
yeah, that's not very safe.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Plus, what if they had the wrong address? All of a sudden, they storm Whitney's place, and then there's
or
blood
Jennifer.
All over. Or Jennifer. If you have a friend,
Thanks,
Whitney, that was there. I'm just very concerned for you, and I'm glad you're out of there. And your friend Whitney. I love you, too.
All right. Glad you called, Jen. All right. Jason, Morgan, Francisco, and the real Whitney. You guys all hang out. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Stop clapping.
No.
Clapping is not a thing. Hands of Fury is not your new band.
It's our new band.
I wish you could see the concentration on Kevin's face.
It's our new band, and everybody wants to be a part of it.
No one wants to, Kevin.
I'm getting
a lot of
response.
Hey, we're taking your calls right now on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Your neighbors were so bad you had to move. That's what we're talking about. You picked up and took all of your possessions away to a different location because you couldn't live next door to that person.
Describe moving in detail.
How do you pack?
All right.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I think when you say move.
Let's talk to Ryan and Upland to get us going here. Line 7, please. 1-800-520-1067. Ryan, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened, my friend?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Allie.
Hi there.
Good morning.
So we lived in a nice neighborhood, cul-de-sac for the kids. Cul-de-sac lined up to another cul-de-sac, so we saw this other house at an angle. But we had a great view of our neighbors that walked around naked. Went outside naked, sunbathed naked.
What?
And had their friends over and did naked stuff together.
That's a lot of sack on that cul-de-sac.
Well, it was
capital
more
sack.
When my 7-year-old was asking about what they were collectively doing in the backyard together, that I would say was an orgy. Didn't know how to describe that to my
son. So you just took your 7-year-old over and introduced him?
No. So in other words, they weren't just nudists, they were swingers.
We didn't really check that closely.
Come on, Ryan, do your research. How long were they doing naked stuff, as you said, before you ended up moving?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to watch my language on the air.
Yeah.
Within about a month of moving in, and for at least the next 4 months till we moved away.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That sucks.
Hey,
so
why
much.
Are you so uptight, first of all? I mean, why wasn't the option, hey, let's join the party?
They had a kid, Bean.
Yeah, I live in Upland.
Okay, and he lives in Upland.
Okay. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Ryan. Let's go to Whitney, Allie's friend Whitney, on line 5, please. She's in Newport Beach. She's
Jennifer's old roommate.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I heard.
Hey, Whitney.
Okay, so I have this crazy story. So in college, I lived in this house with 4 girls, and this guy was staking out our house for like a week, and we kept seeing his car all around, and it was just like a really weird presence. So anyways, one night, our neighbor's dog was going insane. Turns out we had a peeping Tom that was, like, in our backyard.
Was it Bean?
All right. I don't think that's not where this is going.
It's just a question.
It wasn't Bean.
Whitney, was it Bean?
No, it was
okay,
not.
Okay, all right. All right.
So this peeping Tom was, like, looking at us for basically a week. So we catch him. We call our landlord. We break the lease with our landlord. The landlord thinks, like, oh, you guys are just crazy college kids that ruined a house. They sue us for $10,000.
Oh, man.
And take us to small claims court.
Did you try to go to the police with the peeping Tom guy?
Yeah, we did. Huh. We filed a police report and everything, and we even presented the police report to our landlord, and they were just like, no, you guys are crazy college kids, like, whatever. So, long story short, we're doing research to try to win this case, like, for the small claims court. Turns out, we find out our landlord is, like, a convicted sex offender.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was he the peeper?
That's what we said. And we were like, oh, my gosh, like, 1 + 1 type thing. Like, it totally makes sense. We never, like, saw the face of this guy.
By the way, that means that there's cameras, that there were cameras.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, it does mean that.
No.
It's so crazy. Yeah, and the judge was shocked, and, like, our landlord just stood there, like, blank face, and we were like, yeah, like, we have this information on you. So, basically, we won the case. We didn't have to pay $10,000, but still.
This is the best, worst Lifetime movie ever.
Is
it a Lifetime movie?
Yes. So insane.
And what do I search for these pictures?
Okay, that's not where we're going either. Whitney, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you're okay. You got out of there. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's go to Cypress, line 2. This is going to be Morgan up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Morgan.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Morgan.
What happened? You had to move. Why?
Actually, my story is I did not move, but I had to get a neighbor to move. She threatened to kill me.
Oh!
Whoa!
So one night, New Year's Eve, a couple years ago, she went out drinking and was on Facebook, and I posted something that had absolutely nothing to do with her. She came home, and I was outside, and she started screaming and yelling at me about how I was posting things about her online and yada, yada, yada. Heartbreak. Basically, what happened is she lost her marbles and was coming after screaming, I'm going to effing kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Wow.
So I called the police and had the turf from our complex.
Right. So, even though she moved away, was there a part of you that was concerned that she knew where you lived?
Oh, she keeps coming to our complex all the time, and I have to call the police to have them escort her off the property. Because she thinks she's friends with everybody who still lives there, and everybody's like, no, you're crazy. See you later.
We'll do this call in about a month from now, and you can call back in and tell us that you've moved.
Thanks, Morgan.
I have a great life.
See, that's the problem. You have a great
high
place.
High ceilings. I get it.
One person can ruin all the fun.
All right. Go to Facebook Live. Is that Kevin and Bean page? K-Rock page? Where is Facebook? Kevin and Bean page.
Uh-huh.
All right. Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Facebook Live. We're bringing in Beer Mug, the man of 1,000 accents. If you've got some suggestions on accents you'd like to hear the great Johnny Chicago attempt, that's next right here on K-Rock. That's one too many.
Sorry.
That
You're fired.
Does not improve that song, you guys.
Hands of Fury is a
poor
thing.
Poor Bishop.
People want to be a part of it.
Muggs
is not a part of it.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. By the way, the lovely Ricky Lindholm joins us next hour here on K-Rock. Another period returns on Comedy Central this week, and we're excited to catch up with Ricky. First, though, it's time for Beer Mug, the man of 1,000 accents. Hit it, Steve.
Man, Spanish to an Irish man. Come on, step up and represent. Beer Mug, man of 1,000 accents.
You know, I think You know, we're so used to having Ralph Garman around with all of his incredible voices and accents that he does that I think we overlooked that we had so much more talent in the next room because Beer Mug has been in there this whole time capable of doing just as much as Ralph, and we didn't even know it until recently.
Now, we realized it when you did Johnny Chicago. You were doing some interviews with people, and you did Johnny Chicago.
Yes, so at the Shake Shack.
Give us a little Johnny Chicago before we get into this.
Oh, that's crazy there. How you guys doing? Allie, Kevin, Chip, I'm from Chicago.
Nailed it.
That's when
it's
they realized
uncanny.
It's magic. So yeah. Now we have a wheel, and on the wheel we have a bunch of different accents, and we're going to spin it, and whatever it lands on, Beer Mug will do that accent.
All right. By the way, for longtime Kevin and Bean fans, you'll be happy to know this is the exact same wheel that we've had since Adam Carolla first crafted it with his own hands over 20 years ago.
It's a janky wheel.
It's a pretty janky wheel, yeah. But it does work. We are also on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page at Facebook Live if you would like to watch this and if you'd like to make a suggestion on which accent you would like Beer Mug to tackle next. Kevin, I think you're going to spin the wheel to get us started, right?
Excited.
All right. Mugs, you will be doing a Minnesotan. Somebody from Minnesota.
Don't you know there? Oh, I love our great state and our hockey team, the Wild. They're such a good hockey team, don't you know?
Nailed it. It was like a Minnesota leprechaun, but I think he nailed it.
Muggs put both hands in the air like he was just—he had just conquered the world.
I don't think you're going to get called for season 3 of Fargo.
Damn it!
Keep working on it.
Okay, spin it again. What accent is Beer Mug going to be doing now?
Is Fargo in Minnesota?
No, it's in North Dakota.
Okay.
Right, but the show is okay. Fargo, and it's populated with lots of
Is this keeping Beer Mug from doing accents?
Yes, yes, it is.
Because it landed on Australian.
Oi, good eye, mate. How about we go have some Vegemite and drink a Foster's? That's Australian for beer.
I mean,
that wasn't terrible, by the way.
Yeah, right? That
was Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Spinning the wheel again.
It's so fun.
My eyes got really big when I did that.
Beer Mug will be doing Italian.
A good for you. I like the mascarpone and the spumoni ice cream.
What? That was German.
That was Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
That was an Italian who's on vacation in Jamaica.
Jamaica, right. That wasn't good.
Italian in Jamaica. All right. Let's spin it again. Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
And it is Valley Girl.
Like, oh my God, like, you're going to hang out at the mall later? We'll catch the new issue of Tiger Beat, and we'll go see James Franco in his new latest flick? Like, oh my God, gag me with a spoon. Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
All right. Pretty strong.
This is a bean. So judgy.
Bean hates this bit. He just hates it.
By the way, getting lots of suggestions for Facebook Live.
Okay,
just let me know if it lands on Listener Pick. We got one for
you. Okay, awesome. I'll make it land on Listener Pick.
All right.
This time, though, it's Cajun.
Ooh, Cajun
accent.
Interesting.
Beer Mug. Cajun. Cajun. So, like from New Orleans? Like from New Orleans.
We're going to go shoot some alligators and Bobby Boucher.
What was that?
Honestly,
Duck Dynasty is what that was.
Who's Baba Booshki?
Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy. He was
okay.
Cajun.
All right. Hey, stopped on listener suggestion.
All right. Lewis writes in and says, I would love to hear Filipino. Could Beer Mug do Filipino, please?
Excellent. Good suggestion.
Yes. I'm Manny Pacquiao, and Freddie Roach is my...
No, this is bad.
Yeah.
Let's stop.
No, keep it up.
Let's keep going. More Filipino.
Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
All right, one last time. Let's go. Let's make this one good, though. We got to go out on a winner.
Let's go out big.
All right. Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents lands on... Parrot. Let's hear a parrot.
I'm a parrot.
No.
Nope.
No. I didn't realize this, But I saw online this morning that 20 years ago today at the K-Rock Reenie Roast, 1996, was the first reunion concert of the original members of Kiss. That was 20 years ago today, you guys. They came out and played that show right before they went on to do the never-ending tour. But it's pretty significant.
They lit your wife's hair on fire.
There was a spark. There was a spark that went from the fire that Gene Simmons was swallowing on stage that night right into the back of my dear bride's head. Yes, that's
her
true.
Hair at the Weedy Roast was on fire.
It was on fire. Yeah, but that's not the part I remember. The part I remember is how awesome it was to get Ace and Paul and Gene and Peter back together in the makeup to play.
She's like, my hair's on fire. He's like, be quiet.
Hey, they're doing rock and roll all night. Shut up.
Kiss is back.
I feel like the Baxters have bad luck at K-Rock events.
Do you think?
We kind of do. But 20 years ago today, you guys.
All right.
I thought that was worth a mention. It's 7:55 here on a Wednesday morning. Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It broke yesterday, but it is the best news in a very long time. Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm will return for season 9 on HBO. It is so, so good.
Love that show.
With 80 episodes to date, the show is HBO's longest-running scripted comedy or drama series. I didn't know
that. Because he takes 4 years between seasons. It's easy to be a long-running show if you do that.
Gosh. You just can't be happy with the good news, can you?
Glass half full for once.
Right.
But does it count as a long-running series if you haven't made a new episode in 4 years?
We don't really care about the record.
All right.
We're just happy that it's coming back.
No details yet on a season 9 premiere date or additional casting, but the show hasn't aired new episodes since 2011. But back in 2012, the HBO chairman and CEO told reporters, quote, David essentially has carte blanche with us, and when he wants to come back and do Curb, we'd be thrilled. How great is that, just knowing as Larry David, if I want to, I'll do
anytime.
It.
Anytime.
Yeah. Guys, why are you pretending like Kevin doesn't have this same arrangement?
Very good.
Here?
Point.
Yes.
Good call.
Hey, when I want to come in, I come in. When I don't, screw you.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
It is pretty nice. Not nice. Going on vacation and coming home and finding out your home has been burgled.
Oh.
Kevin Hart got jacked of $500,000 worth of stuff, jewelry, watches, clothes, which is bizarre because he lives in a very exclusive neighborhood behind two security gates. However, they're saying that someone pried open the back door of his home.
Wow.
And got, no, literally his the back door in the back of his house.
Oh, the door of his house. Okay, I thought we were talking to you.
Nope. No, not at all. We're told the house has surveillance cameras inside and out, and cops are combing through video for a lead. But wouldn't you think that's kind of an inside job?
Yeah, I would think so.
Uber-exclusive neighborhood, two security gates.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kevin, I need to know what you think.
I don't have that information.
Do you think it was someone he knew, maybe?
It was his neighbor.
Oh, on the right or left side?
Left.
Left side.
Look, if someone stole a bunch of clothes from Kevin Hart, they should look at all the kids in the neighborhood and see what they're wearing.
Because he's small?
He's tiny.
I see. Okay.
That's really funny. Hey, who wants a new movie about Tonya Harding?
Yeah, I mean...
You there?
It's a fascinating story.
It is a fascinating story from 1994.
Do we need a new movie about it now?
Yeah.
I don't feel that that's
there might
necessary.
Be some people listening that don't even know who she is.
I imagine there are a lot of people.
Which is amazing. Yeah. But if you don't know who she was basically right before the Winter Olympics, she was going to be going up her main competitor, Nancy Kerrigan. That's who she was going to be going up against. Well,
In ice skating.
Her husband and a couple other people essentially went after Nancy as she was coming off the ice and tried to break her legs.
Why?
That is
how
actual
do you have that audio?
Recordings of Nancy Kerrigan. It was awful.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
It was crazy. It was, you attacked her with a pipe.
Yes.
And what has happened to ice skating that I love?
Because it was your favorite sport. My favorite memory of that whole period is all the times that, at the time, NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw had to say the name of one of the co-conspirators, Jeff Galooly.
Yeah, he could never say that correctly.
Jeff Galooly It's Jeff Galooey, he would say every night on the news. That's my biggest memory of that era.
He sounds like Mushmouth anyway, so that's not an easy name.
Yeah, I don't know that we need that movie, but I imagine if it's well done.
What if I told you this?
Who's behind it? Who's in it?
Well, who might be playing
Tonya
Harding in a movie called I, Tonya?
Farrah Abramson?
No. She would be great, though.
Okay.
The name is...
Adele Dazeem.
Neither one of those played at the same time.
Okay.
The name is Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah, I could
sounds like a good movie.
Sure.
Right.
I think a lot of people are in just hearing the name Margot
Robbie.
Because of the historical significance.
I'm sorry?
Because of the historical significance.
Of her hot face and bod.
Yes.
Now, Kevin, how has your life changed since 1994 when it took away everything you loved that was pure about ice skating?
Well, I've given up ice skating.
You have?
I don't even skate anymore myself.
You don't?
No. Sad.
You hung up your skates.
Thank you for bringing it back.
I hate the past!
I'm really sorry about all of this. All of these stars were born today, June 15th. Actor Neil Patrick Harris is 43. Leah Remini is 46. Ice Cube, 47.
You know!
Courtney Cox is 52. Actress Helen Hunt is 53. Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon is 32. And comedian Taylor Williamson, happy 30th birthday. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:06.
Ricky Lindholm joins us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And at 9 o'clock, we once again want to qualify you to win tickets to Lollapalooza in Chicago. That's destination number 4, the K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016. And it's courtesy of our friends at Warner Brothers Records because the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing Lollapalooza. Speaking of the Chili Peppers, hey, Anthony Kiedis.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I've been harnessing my chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fully aware
of...
Spectacular bandagadoo.
Okay. Now, I know that next week, Friday is the date that your new album, The Getaway, the latest from the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Friday.
Comes out. First record in like 5 years.
But what is Friday? When you really think about
it's
it.
It's a couple days from now.
Yeah, when your record's
What do
released.
I fry? Nothing.
Well, it's not.
Why
it's
would
not
I eat animal flesh? Cruelty is a no-no. Thumbs down.
Right, but that's that's not why it's...
Bean's just saying that your new record is coming out.
California! King-size bed.
Right. It's called The Getaway. It comes out on Friday. And I'm glad we have you on here, Anthony, because I understand that this is the first time you haven't worked in decades with Rick Rubin, your producer. You decided to switch things up a little bit this time.
Diversity.
Danger Mouse. Can you tell us about that?
Diversity is the key in the belly of the lamb that is the oracle... To my Delphi, Omega, California, roll.
Right. Can you tell us what it's like not to work with Rick Rubin this time? In
California,
Danger
capital. Sacramento.
Skilly-bee-bop-bop-bop-a-ding-dang.
Riddly-dingo. Tootsie roll.
What did Danger Mouse bring to the process of making this record that was different from what you were used to?
He calls his studio the Mousetrap.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So he's got a different name for the studio.
Cheese there.
No cheese because it's the mouse?
Yes.
Okay.
And Flea doesn't like dairy. Bloated!
Speaking of Flea, how much of a setback was it when he broke his arm snowboarding in Montana and just threw all the rehearsals and songwriting out of whack?
He remembered that like a snowflake, the grains of snow are all different. Every one of them is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Like the cities in California. Smiggity-ding-dang-dang, bang-bang-ba-bang-bang.
Now, you were going to play the K-Rock Weenie Roast. How's your stomach? Are you 100% better?
Because... My stomach is repaired.
It's repaired. Okay, good.
Oh, good. I'm feeling better.
What?
Through meditation. I fell down. I broke my coccyx.
I careful. Don't think that
really
sliced my sacrum.
I don't.
My
that's
perineum
not
was
what happened
ruptured.
At all.
No, that's not.
Ligature
what...
marks on my forehead. Ice down the parts of your body that have been ruined by pollution through the cosmic force that we don't see but we feel. California.
Okay, California.
This is the voice of Anthony Kiedis here at the Kevin DeBean Show, catching up with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. All right, so carpool karaoke was a big thing.
911's a joke.
Right. It was a big thing for your band this week. You guys all jumped in the car with James Corden, the host of the Late Night Show on CBS. Tell us what that was like for you guys to film.
Beautiful, smiggity-dang-dang, James Corden shirtless, pressed his areolas to my areolas, areola-palooza, wang-dang, diggity-doong-doong-doong, sex, magic, California.
Now, you did wrestle him.
Teeth.
What? You wrestled James Corden in the front yard of somebody's house, and it looked like you really knew what you were doing.
I've been training in all forms of grappling.
Okay.
For 10,000 years.
10,000 years?
That's a lot of years.
You look fantastic, Anthony.
Many, many souls have traveled through this meat wagon I call my body.
Okay. Meat wagon.
That's right.
Really?
Organic flesh.
Right.
It's my physical embodiment. It's what you see, Ali.
Right. It's not the real you, though. Baba. It's just a container, right?
It's just a container.
Did you
it's
say
a meat.
Baba as in Alibaba?
Alibaba.
Is that what you just did?
I did. And I won't take that back.
Okay. Biggity, biggity, bitch, California.
All right. Okay. Here's a clip from Carpool Karaoke.
Yes.
And this is about a song that you and Flea wrote when you were younger. And I'd just like you to maybe give us a little bit more explanation.
Sure.
You're lucky we haven't done Heeny Limi.
Oh, what's, you're lucky.
What's Heeny Limi?
You don't want to know.
First
oh, do? No, you don't want to know.
No, but I actually do, though.
You know what? You say that now,
yeah,
and then you'll know, and you're like, ooh, I should have listened.
We were 15 years old, sleeping on a rock out in the woods.
Yeah.
Smoking large quantities of marijuana.
Okay.
Hiking through the Sierra Nevada mountain range. And we wrote Heeny Limi.
I mean, just like roughly give me a taste of what it sounded like.
Count us in.
All right, so then you guys did it.
Yes.
Can you do some of that for us today?
Sure, okay. And as you can tell, My songwriting has really progressed from Heeny Leeny to Bing Ding Ding Da Dang. I'm 50 million records I've sold with Skilly Ba 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 Doo Ba Doo Boo Boo. Here
and
we
now,
go.
Heeny Leeny.
Heeny Leeny. Oh, wagga dang dang, smick mack diggadoo, wicka ding ding da ding, California, smook a la la, ga ball gog a digga dang, gigga dong dong da dong, Sacramento, boogadoo doo ga doo ga ding dang da dang, San Diego, Bakersfield, oog bum bum coastline, digga doo doo da doo, Sierra Nevada, bugga dang dang da dang, mountains. Oh, don't fall on your snowboard, Flea, cause you might get hurt. On. Who needs ice and rest? You do, not me. Ladies and gentlemen, you still got it. There it is, the great Anthony Kiedis. Great to see you again, sir. Suge shot me.
What?
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 You guys, tonight's the night.
Yes, it is.
Tonight, Comedy Central, 10 o'clock, season 2 premiere of Another Period. Hit it, Snoop.
I want the money.
Oh, yeah.
I want the fame. I want the whole world to know my name. This is mine. I gotta get it. I gotta get it. Gotta get it. Another Period.
Co-creator, executive producer, writer, actress, Ricky Lindholm from Another Period joins us in studio on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Ricky.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
We're great. And forgive me if we covered this last time you were in, but how does Snoop Dogg make sense to do the theme for this show?
Okay. So Natasha Leggero, my partner in crime on the show, she was on the roast of Justin Bieber, and Snoop was on there. And if you saw the roast, several times Snoop was like, I'm into that, Natasha. Like, at the mic. He's just like, I like everything that's going on over there. So afterwards, they're just talking, and I think maybe he asked her to smoke or something, and she was like, question.
Good for her.
Yeah, we had someone that we hired off Craigslist to do the rap, and then
hold,
we're like,
please. Hold, please.
Yes.
Well, Comedy Central's notorious for their low budget, so that part doesn't surprise me.
Is that an exaggeration?
That's not an exaggeration.
Literally.
You hired somebody literally from Craigslist.
Yes. Yes. Our producer has a system, and he does this thing where he'll like put a job on Craigslist and rappers can submit to him because they could have residuals from doing a TV theme. So everyone sends in. So we picked a rapper and we were going to use him. And then Natasha's like, I have another thought.
I have another rapper.
Yeah. What if we go with Snoop?
Yeah.
Man.
And then Snoop said yes. And we were like, okay, great. Awesome.
I feel like. Wow. If Snoop likes you, he would say yes to any duet, any song, anything you want him
to do. Well, look at all the nonsense he does for Kimmel because they're friends.
Right,
you
that's
know?
True.
That's fantastic, though. So,
poor guy on Craigslist.
I know.
Yeah, right?
So
feel
close.
Bad for him. So
lucky
close.
For him, he did not know he had the job yet. So we hadn't
oh,
told
good.
Him.
Oh, good.
So,
what's his name?
I don't remember.
I don't think
okay,
it,
we shouldn't say
yeah,
that?
No.
Okay.
No.
No, but it wasn't a good one. It was something like Low Mode or something. It was like...
Maybe that was it, but it wasn't. It was.
Oh, what
it
if
wasn't
he's listening
slow
right
load,
now?
But it was something like that.
So you would have had to start with "Let's change slow load,"
right?
To something good.
A lot of
right.
work.
Right.
A lot of work.
And instead, Snoop is a good dog. Good yeah. dog. Sorry, Snoop Dogg is a good name already.
Yes.
So,
okay.
So Ricky, let me ask you this, and maybe you can't say or won't say, but Snoop clearly said yes because he's trying to get with Natasha. Did that happen?
It
she's
didn't.
A, she's a married woman.
But yeah, she's married. But you okay. know, you never know. If she was single, like
yeah, right.
right.
Well, who could blame her?
Yeah,
why not? Right?
Why not?
So another period.
Try.
Yeah.
Another
you
period
sort of
is yeah. is back tonight, yet has already been renewed for a third season, which must just be the
Isn't
happiest phone call of your life.
It was amazing. We were in the editing room because Natasha and I are just constantly there editing all day long, like crazy people, and. We got this call and we thought it was about notes on an episode and they're like, so your show's getting renewed. And we're like, wait, what happened? And we weren't
because
even like,
season two doesn't even debut till tonight.
Yep. And we found out like 2 months ago.
And they already called you and said season three.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic.
We turned in a couple episodes and they were like, we love it. We're giving you another season. We're just, cause we're like hoping for good news on the episodes, like good notes. And they were like, you're doing another season. We're just like,
that's pretty good news. Those are great notes.
Yes. Yeah. I'll take those notes any day. Yeah.
So let's back up one step for listeners who have not yet gotten into another period. And season one is streaming, right? People can catch up on the whole thing if they want.
Yes.
Okay. You're set
and
in
you,
19...
By the way, you want if you listen to this show and you like this show, you will like it.
You will love it. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's set in 1902, mm-hmm. and you and Natasha play shallow, rich white ladies who really just can't get their head around the world.
Well, we're basically like if the Kardashians moved into Downton Abbey.
Totally.
That's kind of the premise. Or if like the Real Housewives of Newport in 1902. And we just like have, you know, nothing to offer but feel like we should be famous. But in 1902, the only famous women were Harriet Tubman and Helen Keller. So, and we just thought we should be the other two. We just thought, like, just because for no reason.
Now, we've seen the episode that airs tonight that includes one of those two ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Harriet Tubman.
And Helen Tubman. Was on the first season.
Yes, yep. Helen was,
I mean,
that was
you've
fantastic.
Really got some big names.
I know, right?
Since you brought up Harriet Tubman, let me actually play a clip from tonight's show because I think this is so funny. So Lillian and Beatrice are on the street and they see Harriet Tubman and she is at the dedication, I think, of a bench in her honor or mm-hmm. something like that. So they see how famous she is and, of course, they want a piece of that.
Why is she famous? She's not even pretty.
It's Harriet Tubman from the Underground Railroad. One of the most famous people in the world. She helped free all those slaves.
She ought to free herself in that burlap sack around her head. Let's go talk to her. Mm-hmm. Hello, Harriet Tubman? We would like to become famous how you are, but still young and pretty how we are.
That tells you everything you need to know about these girls.
Yep.
Oh,
we are... assholes.
The number of times,
well, you are
the
too.
Number of times that you just say we just love money.
Yeah, yeah.
It cracks
and we do.
Me up.
We love it. We love money and we love ourselves. And I love having sex with my twin brother on the show.
Well, it's Jason
like
Ritter,
do.
So I
that
understand
helps.
It. If he was my brother, I'd be like, incest. Do it.
He's pretty handsome.
I do feel like there is a community of people, funny people, who all do each other's shows. And Jason Ritter is one of those guys who seems to show up on a lot. You're one of those girls who seems to show up. I mean, you must be working with a lot of friends making another
Dave
period.
Koechner.
It's Dave Koechner. Yeah. I'm
Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, Michael Ian Black.
Pretty much everyone on our show like circles and does all the other shows. It's so – I don't know how I got in this group, but I feel so lucky because you just keep getting to be on – funny stuff.
Right.
You're like, okay, great. I'll do that.
So you want
great
me to do
part.
Another funny project?
Right.
Okay.
Because we don't really have auditions unless it's a part that we truly don't know anyone for that. Like, so we actually didn't have auditions for Harriet Tubman, but people sent in tapes and then we sort of went from there.
Oh, Craigslist? Is that right?
Yeah. Craigslist. Not Craigslist. No. No.
Looking for Harriet Tubman. You? Question mark.
We actually got the woman who played the mom on Friday, mm-hmm. but she's in her 70s now and she's...
Oh, that's who's
she's
playing
awesome.
Harriet Tubman?
Yeah, BB Drake.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so
oh, good.
Funny.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't giving away a joke from the show, but I love so much Lauren Lapkus on the show because she's Penelope. Which
yeah,
is
Penelope.
To me, Penelope is the funniest name of anyone on TV.
Yeah, we're always like, no, it's Penelope. Like, it's Penelope. Oh, Penelope, but wrong. It's so silly. Yeah, she's so funny on the show.
Do you guys, you're a professional, you're used to doing lots of funny stuff, but are there times where somebody just gets the giggles and you guys just can't hold it together?
I get the giggles all the time from Jason Ritter, and it's it's horrible because we have to do scenes where we're like kissing and we're right in each other's faces, and it's my entire goal this season was to not laugh during my scenes with Jason, and I laugh during every single scene.
Oh, so how did you think, how would you rate your job doing that this year then?
Your goal
of not laughing ever.
My goal was not reached.
Okay.
And it was obliterated. Yeah.
Okay.
Does it help, though, that you're a co-creator, writer, and star of the show?
Because I can't really get fired
for giggling.
They cannot
fire you.
Right.
But I can be certainly annoying to the crew who's, like, ready to go home. And I'm like, tee-hee-hee-hee.
We've already done this scene five times.
Right.
See, but if it involved being close and kissing Jason Ritter, I'd mess up constantly.
It's weird doing jokes right in someone's face.
Yeah.
Like, serious, stupid jokes an inch away from someone's face.
It's weird doing anything 1 inch from somebody's face.
Yeah, I always think about these musical theater people who sing and like basically spit in each other's faces when they're doing a duet.
Yeah. They have to, yeah. So do you, as part of the writing process, are you just literally going through history books? Because, I mean, you've had Mark Twain, you've had Gandhi. I'm just trying to think. Sigmund Freud has been on the show. I mean, are you just like scouring history books going, all right, who else was alive in 1902 that we can bring in?
Yes. We just found another famous woman, which was like, oh, there's a third, which was Alice Roosevelt, who was the president's daughter, was Teddy's daughter. And I guess she was super famous. She was like the first Paris Hilton type person.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Ooh. She was famous for the clothes she wore and being a bad girl and out on the town.
Sweet.
Yeah.
How happy were you when you found that out?
Oh, so happy. We're like, okay, we have a third season coming. We got to think of something. Yeah, we love doing research. There's so much in our show that's historically accurate. People wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, I remember I remember you telling us that last time that you actually do have people whose jobs it is to make it as accurate as possible, even though it's a silly comedy.
And didn't you guys go to Rhode Island and you checked out all the mansions and stuff?
Yeah, we went again. We took another trip through.
I think
Rhode
you
Island.
Guys are just going on fun trips.
Yeah, we totally are.
Yeah. Totally bogus.
We took go-karts around. They have these little go-kart things that look like Ferraris, and you just take them around to all the mansions. It's really fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
And you drink wine and look at sailboats. And we're like,
that
no,
doesn't
it's
sound as awesome, but all right.
Research. You write it off.
It's research.
Good. It's research.
The show is called Another Period. Season 2 premieres tonight on Comedy Central at 10. We're going to take a quick break. More with our guest, Ricky Lindholm, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Another Period is back for Season 2 tonight on Comedy Central at 10 p.m. One of the stars, Ricky Lindholm, in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, co-creator, executive producer, writer, and actress. Was there ever any pushback from Comedy Central on the name at the beginning, Ricky?
Do you know what's funny? When they picked up the show, they brought us into the office, and the president of the network said, we're going to pick up the show, but you have to change the name.
You have to?
Yes. Okay. That was the one stipulation, and we were like, okay. And then we didn't, because we thought that they would tell us, like, you know, when to change it, and we were, like, hashtagging it when we tweeted, and I think it just kind of
caught on,
and then they just never asked
so he
us.
Made a demand yeah. and then just never followed up
never right. followed up. We were kind of waiting for them to go, okay, what's your pitch for a new name, and then they didn't, and then the show came out, so we were like, I guess we don't have to take any notes, like,
yeah.
That's awesome. Did you guys ever have a conversation, okay, if they do get serious about that, we've got to come up with another name? Did you ever have that brainstorming
meeting? We just had the dumbest names. We never came up with anything good. We had The Young and the Rest. There was that, which is like
stupid, but I like it.
Yeah, just dumb, and yeah, they were just silly. They weren't better.
Well, it's good that it worked out.
Yes.
When you get stopped, you're one of those actresses who's been in dozens and dozens of things with lots of appearances on lots of different types of TV shows and movies. What do people on the street think you're in? Like,
usually,
when they see you, where do they know
Oates.
You from?
It's usually
That's
Garfunkel.
The number
and
one thing.
But sometimes you can tell by where the people are from, what they know you from.
What they might watch.
Yes. If someone's from, like, Austria, it's probably My Best Friend's Girl. Because that
really?
Dane Cook, Kate Hudson movie is, like, if it's a German accent, like, something, like, in that realm, it's, yeah, that movie was really popular.
Wow. I feel like Last House on the Left, people remember.
Yes, they do. But people don't recognize me from it because I had black hair and I look so different.
Oh, that's true.
It's not that much.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
When you look back on
And you did a Do you get people who try to make you list things and then say no
all the time? That seems like that and they never know anything I'm in ever. It never ever works.
Okay, but what else like, are you in? What else?
Yeah,
and
I'll say another period, and they're like, "What? No,
no, not that." But,
that's and I'm an
like,
awful name.
And I'll be like Garfunkel and Oates, and they're like, "What?" I just like, nothing I say makes sense.
That's a terrible thing to do to somebody. Just for the record, don't approach somebody that you think you know something about and ask them to list their resume.
Yeah, or you'll say a show that I was on once, and they'll be like, "I don't like that show." I'm like, "Well, that's I can't." You know, I'll be like Muppets, and they're like, "I didn't care for it." I'm like, "Why are we still talking?
Why were we ever talking?" Yeah. Do you ever get to the point where you figure out which actress they think you are that you're not? Maybe that's what it is.
I have been mistaken for Natalie Dormer before.
Oh, I could see that. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
What and show did you just accept that and just move on? Or
I've been mistaken straight up for Katherine Heigl, which I didn't understand. I don't think we look that much alike. And someone's like, "Katherine Heigl, I loved you on Grey's Anatomy." And I just went, "Thanks." Do you know what I mean? Like,
right, because you don't want to take the time. You don't want them to feel bad.
It was across a street. Sure. I didn't want to be like, "That's not me. Catherine's a different person. I'm on another period." You know, so I just was like, "Thank you."
Ricky, you're so well known for being funny and for all the improv and sketch and stuff that you've done throughout your years and your comedy characters created. Was there a time, though, when you were an actress in Hollywood and you were on House and Bones and Criminal Minds and all those kinds of shows where you thought your career would go in a completely different direction?
Oh, totally. When I started acting, I was like 50-50 doing drama and comedy because I was just an auditioning actor. And so it would go 50-50. And it also went 50-50 like pretty girl, ugly friend. You've never seen someone with like more mixed messages from Hollywood. I would in the same day, I would have different clothes in my car and I'd be like, "Can we schedule pretty girl audition first and then ugly friend?" Because it's easier to like take off your makeup and pull your hair back than it is to like get like all the...
That's a terrible way to make a living.
It's horrible. And I'd be driving around my car and I'd be like, "Okay, pretty girl mode." And then I'm like, "Okay, take it off. Glasses, ponytail, you know, flannel shirt, whatever. I don't
know." That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
That is so funny. So did you get to a point where you realized, "Hey, you know what I need to do is just start creating my own stuff because that way I get to play the part I want to play."
Yeah. For me, it was like I was just successful enough to not realize how unsuccessful I was. Like, I was just failing and I didn't realize. I'm like, "No, I did 4 lines on Bones last year. I'm good. Like, I'm crushing it." And then when the writer's strike came and I had no jobs and no prospects, I was like, "Yeah, I think I need to maybe figure this out
for
myself."
So that kind of kicked you into gear.
Yeah.
Where did all of your musical ability come from?
I think I've just always been like, you know, pretty mediocre singer. And so I wanted to share that with the world. I just wanted
people need more mediocre singers.
Exactly. You know, I was in choir. I started playing guitar in college. I used to write funny songs in college and perform for my friends at parties and things like that. And in coffee shops and things like that.
Does it ever shock you when you get responses from people that go to a Garfunkel and Oates show, like a Weird Al, say, that is such a huge fan of you guys? Are you ever like, how are all these people that you've looked up to for so long so into you?
I still can't handle – I've known Al for years now, and I still can't take it. I'm still like, you know. And my brother's also such a big Weird Al fan that I like will text him. I'll be like, "Guess who I just saw?" And he gets so stoked. It's like 2 years ago we played with Weird Al in San Francisco, and we played – we sang Like a Surgeon at the San Francisco Comedy Festival. And Kate and I are in scrubs, and we crawl out on the stage, and we're singing Like a Surgeon. And
no
like halfway through
way.
It was awesome. And then halfway through we like point to the back of the auditorium, and Al comes in, and people just went insane. They didn't know he was coming on during the number.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
So
that's
fun.
Unbelievable.
Bean right now is so jealous.
Well, Bean says I may not Weird be able Al, to talk. Bean says that Weird Al is the number one human being of all time.
Wow.
He is the best person in the world ever. Yes.
I mean,
I know some will argue Jesus, and I accept Jesus as an alternate. I accept Jesus as an alternate, but I still think Al is number one.
He's so nice, too.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a reason why he wouldn't be the number one person, and I can't really.
Right? Thank you.
He hasn't given me any reasons to.
There are other people that would be in the running, but nothing would take him out of it.
I don't
think
so.
Now, are you guys friends? Like, let's have dinner friends?
No, but I do have his email. We're the type of friends where I could email him, but I don't have his number.
Okay, you can't so email him. Would he say, "Who is this"?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
He would, if I ran into him or emailed him, he would know who I was, but I don't. But I don't text him.
Well, you know,
Kate and I have been to his house.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, Bean.
Kevin and I went to his house.
We've been to his house as well.
Oh. Not the house he's in now, but the previous one we were at.
Was
not
there
that I would
a room
know that,
of
because
Hawaiian
why would
shirts?
I know that?
Yes, there was an entire room of nothing
oh, yeah.
but Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. And Vans.
Yes. We were like, seriously? I mean, how many do you need? Just wear the same ones.
Yeah.
Ricky, what about Al on season 3 of Another Period? Because, you know, he does Gallivant and he does some other shows that it seems like he does Comedy Bang Bang.
Like
I
would love that.
Fit
we're trying
for
to think
this.
Of like what the perfect part for him would be, though, because you don't want to waste that, you know, because he's so yeah. funny. He'd be like such a good historical figure, but we don't know what. Like, would he be like, I can't think of anyone.
Yeah, that would be difficult to put him in anywhere, I think.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to dedicate my life to giving that enough thought
easy,
that
being...
I can then I could send no, some
but,
suggestions
but he will,
for you.
Though.
I will. We need to make that happen for season 3.
Like
that would
Oscar
be awesome.
Wilde or something. He could be that.
Yeah.
Something like that would be great.
Yeah.
Good idea.
He was
all
on
right.
the Garfunkel and Oates show and he was hilarious and he yelled at us for making fun of Second Bananas and Vans with our name.
Well,
point.
We're very, very excited to have Another Period back. It is so much fun, you guys. It's one of those shows where the joke, you might have to watch it twice because there are so many jokes per minute, and those are our favorite kind of shows. It airs tonight for season 2 at 10 o'clock on Comedy Central. And by the way, I think Natasha's coming in a couple weeks, so we're going to do this all over again.
Oh, good.
We want to make sure to keep getting the word out there about your awesome show.
Thank you.
Great to see you, Ricky. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
We were going to ask, what's up with Florida, like we do coming up right after 9 o'clock, and also qualify you for a free trip to Lollapalooza in Chicago. Ooh, I hope when you call, you get to talk to Johnny Chicago. That would be a thrill, right?
It would be great.
It's K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 4, the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Lollapalooza. That is coming up. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Good morning, you guys. First, I would like to turn it over to Chip, because she said she will stop yelling hey and clapping if she could get this plug in.
Really?
For like 5 seconds.
Oh,
and it's gonna stop forever.
All right, go ahead, Chip.
Okay, hey, tomorrow night, my band Well Hung Heart is playing at the Viper Room.
That's huge.
$8.
That's
nothing. WellHungHeart.com. We go on at like 10.
10 o'clock.
Headlining. Yeah.
And this is your first LA show since you joined the band, right?
Yes.
Chip.
I feel like you're undervaluing with $8.
Right?
Yeah.
Should be at least 9.
At least.
It's the Viper Room, too. It's a great place to see a show.
Now, I know it's a small-ish room, Chip, but do people need to bring binoculars in order to be able to still find you on stage?
Just
you're not a big person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a safe bet.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, Viper Room. Well Hung Heart, Chip's band. She'll be on the right side of the stage if you want to get up close and personal. Right, Chip?
Not sure that's what she's saying, but...
Right around your crotch areas where people can stand right up there? Oh, Chip, quiet all of a sudden. All right, you guys, some really weird news today. Everything from Kevin Hart getting jacked $500,000 worth of stuff, jewelry, watches, clothes. Somebody broke into his house in Tarzana. He lives in an uber-exclusive neighborhood behind 2 security gates. So somebody got in there, stole all this stuff while he was out of town. But here's where it's weird. He was in Miami training. Who is he training with, you'd think? Oh, maybe just some sort of athletic trainer. But no, it was a guy from the Miami Dolphins.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
But not just any guy. I can't say his name.
Say it.
Not a Mukong Sue? Not a Mukong. Sue. The one that always steps on people
and
hurts them. How do you say his name, Chip?
Why was...
Not...
You did it right.
Ndamukong.
Ndamukong Sue.
Right. That's what I said.
Right. Why was he training with him?
I don't know. And can you imagine the two of them? Like, he's a huge dude. And then you've got Kevin Hart that's just kind of little.
That's odd.
That is odd. But no word yet on what happened, but they've got surveillance cameras inside and outside. Cops are combing through video for a lead. You mentioned this the other day, Bean, and I was not aware that this was something floating around. But you know how Richard Simmons, he's been off everybody's radar for a few years. Nobody knows what's happening. People thought, okay, maybe his housekeeper, someone was keeping him against his will at his house.
Now, there's been a lot of odd rumors.
Odd rumors, absolutely. And then he was mysteriously hospitalized a couple weeks ago. Well, he has finally come out and said he's fine. He went on Facebook, but... Bean, you had heard the claims that people were saying he's transitioning to become a
woman. Well, that
was
the National Enquirer's cover story last week, is that that's why he has been out of the public eye, is because he has been transitioning to a woman, yes.
Yes. Well, he finally addressed those rumors on his Facebook on Wednesday and said, although I am not transitioning, I have and always will be supportive of those who are going through their journey. My broken heart and healing thoughts are with the people of Orlando and all the other victims of prejudice, bigotry, and hate. So it's just good to hear from him is really
it really is.
My thing.
I mean, people who are close to him, who have been friends with him for years, say they can't see him anymore and he won't return their calls or emails. And, you know, a couple of years go by of that behavior and people do worry,
yeah.
Certainly.
Absolutely. And he's just joy. He's joy personified in dolphin shorts. I love him so much, you guys. I have never been more jealous of Ellie Goulding ever. Ever.
Than
right now. Because it's rumored that she might be dating Prince Harry. What? Prince Harry, he's the hot redhead one.
Is that good?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
You got a little royal family BS, though?
Well,
I mean, that would suck.
I think Harry escapes a lot of that, doesn't he?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
Because he's the backup king, so he can kind of get away with a lot.
Right?
Of backup king.
Backup king. Wouldn't that be the best, though? You get all the benefits, but you're not really scrutinized
you're not
as
that
much.
Important?
Yeah.
All right, it's like being vice president.
All right.
Yeah. He's our Biden, is what's happening.
Got it.
But they apparently met at a polo match, and they were spotted smooching it up after an event. And he's been telling friends about his musical new lady. That's what it says right here.
Harry seems like a pretty good deal, right?
Heck yeah.
William's a little bit of a stiff, but Harry looks like he's a good time.
He would be fun. He'd be fun. He's hot. He's got that, like, hot ginger thing happening.
I don't really have thoughts on the royal family.
I have so many thoughts about Prince Harry. They're not good. They are dirty. All these stars born today, June 15th. Actor Jim Belushi is 62. Chip, you call him the good Belushi, and you would be right. Actress Helen Hunt is 53. Actress Courtney Cox, 52. Ice Cube, 47. Leah Remini, 46. Neil Patrick Harris is 43. And comedian Taylor Williamson is 30. Hi, Taylor. I'm Allie McKay, and Pharrell Carmen, walking the showbiz beat.
Right? Stop the Hands of Fury. It's not a thing,
Hands
guys.
Of Fury is a thing.
It's not a thing.
A
no
lot of
song
people want to be in it.
No.
A lot of people are contacting us and they want to be in Hands of Fury.
No song is improved by you and Chip clapping alone,
well,
Kevin.
Agree to disagree.
Stop it. Hey, Allie McKay is here in for Ralph Garman one more time with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
Listen, if you send me a story about a celebrity and his kid's name being weird, I'm going to read it because celebrities are whacked and they name their kids stupid things. So I was reading about Hopper Penn.
Hopper.
Which I was like, Hopper, okay, cool. Might be a Dennis Hopper thing. And it is. It had to do with Dennis Hopper being Sean Penn's favorite actor. And when he was in his mom's belly, he didn't kick. He would more hop in her belly. So they named him Hopper.
All right.
However, this is what got me. What his name was going to be.
Before Hopper?
Before Hopper. They settled on Hopper because it was more normal than what Sean wanted to name his son. Due to his obsession with red meat. This is a quote.
Hold on. Due to his obsession with red meat.
So you could think like maybe Kobe. So Kobe beef, something like that along those lines.
Sure.
Nope.
Drums again, please.
This is the quote. My dad wanted to name me steak. The food. Because he loves it so much. Steak.
And that ain't right.
What? It ain't right.
Why does that happen?
I don't know.
Why do celebrities find that okay?
I don't
know. Did his wife talk him out of it?
Well, obviously. Robin Wright said, no.
No, let's go with Hopper.
But this little dude that's not kicking more hopping in my stomach, let's call him Hopper.
His name could have been Steak Pen.
Steak Pen. I kind of dig it. All right. Something that Bean is super upset about, not being on the trial for the big Led Zeppelin plagiarism case.
They don't want Bean on any jury for any trial, let alone this one.
Yeah, this one. This one has to do, of course, with the estate of a band called Spirit, the guitarist Randy California. They say that Led Zeppelin stole the riff from Stairway to Heaven, which was originally theirs from a song called Taurus. So we want to play a little bit for you. Here is, of course, Stairway to Heaven.
Sure is
Led Zeppelin. Now let's hear the band Spirit and their song Taurus.
Yeah,
I mean, other than it being
dissimilar,
totally the same. Other than that,
I don't know how long this case can take. They play those two back to back,
right?
And then the judge says guilty, and then you move on.
Well, here's the problem. What happened yesterday? Basically, they showed an unidentified man playing the opening of Stairway to Heaven, then the song Taurus, followed by both parts being synced together. Led Zeppelin's attorney objected because that video wasn't cleared before the trial. They were not told that this video would be in. So day one, this might be considered a mistrial.
What?
So that means some of the lucky people who were selected for this jury might be sent home and they might start all over again.
I mean, it's
so
just...
So maybe there's a chance, Bea,
there,
right?
There may be a chance for you. But I looked it up and I was thinking, okay, what are they suing for exactly? They are suing for recognition and a share of the proceeds from a lucrative hit estimated to have generated more than... How much do you think, Kevin? Stairway to Heaven.
One
How
song?
Much could that song have made?
I don't know. $20 million.
A little more.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be $500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Wait, hold on. What just happened? $500. Did he go from 100, add a zero to 150? Is that what just happened?
It's 1709.
1709?
What just happened?
Let's start over.
How much do you think they could get? Generated more than how much money?
$50
million. Add a zero to it.
$500 million. There you go. No?
Still struggled.
Oh, God.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Either way, no matter.
Money.
All of the numbers I said is a lot. Led Zeppelin, historically, has stolen so many songs.
I didn't know this, Bean. I had no idea that they've been found guilty.
They had a Whole Lot of Love was one. They had to go back and put Willie Dixon's name on it. Dazed and Confused, they stole from a guy named Jake Holmes, I want to say. They had a whole bunch of them that they just kind of just put their names on it as writing credits and put them out. But most of those have just been kind of settled, you know, individually with the writers or the writers' estates. This is the first one I know of where they've actually been sued for plagiarism and had to go to court and have it decided by a jury.
It's crazy. It's crazy times. $150 million.
No, add a zero.
$175 million.
I'm still unclear what the actual number is.
I know you are. $500 million.
Okay.
One song generated more than $500 million. And as Bean mentioned earlier, it's pretty much one of the greatest songs in the history of songs.
Sure. It has to be one of the biggest, most popular, most successful rock songs of all time.
Absolutely.
So I guess if you're going after one, that's a good one to go after.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll hear more about it tomorrow as well. All of these stars were born today, June the 15th. Actress Helen Hunt is 53. Actress Courtney Cox, 52. Rapper, actor Ice Cube, 47 years old.
The question is, are we rock and roll? And I say you're goddamn right, we rock and roll. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Actress Leah Remini, 46. Neil Patrick Harris, 43. Imagine Dragon guitarist Wayne Sermon is 32. And our buddy comedian Taylor Williamson is 30. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. A commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we're going to talk to Brad Meltzer, who is a consultant for the Secret Service and for the CIA.
Nice.
And is also an author. And he's impressive. We're going to have him in studio. So maybe I'll step out during that time. Jim Rome talks sports like we do on Thursdays, and Dr. Drew joins us in studio tomorrow morning on an all-new show.